Your program feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder, we have a Bible Institute here at BBN. At bbnradio.org, just click Bible Institute.
This evening on Conference Pulpit, Kenny Baldwin concludes the message, How to Come Out of the Fire. Kenny Baldwin assumed the role of senior pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church in Bailey's Crossroads, Virginia in 2011. Saved at the age of 4 and called to preach at the age of 9, Dr. Baldwin is in high demand as a dynamic and effective preacher of the gospel. His ministry at home and abroad has impacted nearly every segment of society. He is a lecturer and serves on the board of directors at Veritas Baptist College. Kenny Baldwin has an intense burden for mentoring young men. Here's part two of his message, How to Come Out of the Fire. This is Teen Week Conference Pulpit from the Bible Broadcasting Network.
Daniel chapter number 3. How to Come Out of the Fire. That's what we're talking about. How many of you say, Pastor, I figured out how to get in it, but I'm having trouble coming out of it? Listen, you're not going to avoid the fire. Okay, you're going to be in some kind of a fire. And if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be in a terrible fire one day. Aren't you glad that Christ paid the way to keep us out of that fire? And now we're talking about the fires of life, the fiery trial. Peter says, the fiery trial which shall try you. Job said, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. These are all allusions to fire, going through the fire, coming out of the fire. Now let's pick up where we left off. Look at verse number 6. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning what? Fiery furnace. Cast. Therefore, at that time, when all of the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Be ready for it now. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Don't you think that the Lord's the only one talking about worship? And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. There are certain Jews. Turn to your neighbor and say, God always has a remnant. Are you in it? Don't wait for an answer. It might be embarrassing. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his what? Rage and fury. Has anybody seen to follow the pattern of this guy? He gets mad all the time. Commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then they brought these men before the king. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash between culture and Christianity. Will the two ever be moving in concert? Will the world and the word ever agree? Will that which is popular in culture ever become proper in Christianity? We open the timeless book called the Bible. We look at the timeless principles that God has penned for us. The psalmist said, forever thy word is settled. That word means fixed, firm, and established. I'm glad that I don't preach a Bible. I'm glad that I don't live by a Bible. I'm glad that I don't read a Bible. I'm glad I don't study a Bible. I'm glad I don't memorize a Bible. I'm glad I don't meditate on a Bible that changes every day. I'm glad I don't meditate on a Bible that gets voted in every 2 years. Or every 4 years, or I'm glad that I don't have a Bible that with a certain amount of a majority can be amended or changed or updated. I'm glad that God didn't come back in this generation and say, oh, it's 2021. It's a pandemic. The world's out of control. We're facing unprecedented circumstances. What I said way back then, I changed my mind. It won't work anymore. It's stale. It's not practical. It's grown out of date. It's mundane. It's trite. We need something new. Aren't you glad it worked then? It works now. It does not need to be updated. It does not need to be fixed. It's already fixed, firm, and established. So we understand the principles of the Word of God. Therefore, culture and Christianity clash because culture does change because it is based on variables that change all the time. People's opinions, people's popularity, people's preferences, what people like and what they enjoy. Culture changes with the times. We're all seeing things culturally that are accepted that used to not be accepted. We also see things that went out that are coming back in. We see people doing things that nobody else used to do, saying things that nobody else used to say. We see people approving things that didn't used to be approved. And now culture tends to use popular people to make something more acceptable. Look here, look here, look right up here in the pastor's eye. It doesn't matter how popular somebody does something. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. It doesn't matter who wears it, who says it, who acts like it, who comes out as it. It doesn't change the fact God's word is settled. I need somebody to say amen. Fixed, firm, and established. So we find the people of God. In this case, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, all of these fellows, they find themselves in a wicked culture. I mean, as bad, as wicked as it could be. Babylon, no temple, no songs to sing, no worship of God, the popularization of idolatry, an egotistical man in Nebuchadnezzar who wanted himself to be worshipped, who we see mirrored all the time in society today. In Daniel chapter 1, they're tempted to eat the meat and drink the wine. They think that if they don't, this is what the people think, if they don't, they won't make it. They won't be smart. They won't be able to perform. They won't be able to step up to the preparation needed to serve before the king. God proved that wrong, didn't he? God proved that not only would they make it, not only would they survive, but they would thrive. In all matters of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, the king found them to be what? 10 times better. Say it with me, 10 times better. Daniel 1 proved right. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He can't figure it out. Nobody can. His professionals can't. There's a man by the name of Daniel, somebody that's got the mind of God. Isn't it great when the world and all its technology, all its brains, all its intellect, all of its money can't figure it out, and here comes God. Aren't you glad God shows up? Here comes the man of God. I can tell you who can interpret your dream. I can't do it, but God does. And he gives God the glory. Sure enough, God came through. But watch this now. Daniel chapter 3. Same man that's just gotten his dream interpreted by Daniel is now propagating idolatry. Listen to me. Just because people get something from God doesn't mean they give their lives to God. And sometimes we look at people and think, surely they'll turn, surely they'll change. God healed them, God got them out of jail, God fixed their problem, God spared their lives, God did a miracle, God worked in their life. Sure enough, you know how many people I've heard tell me, Pastor, if God gets me out of here, if God fixes this, if God heals me, I'll serve God for the rest of my life, and God does, and you never see them again. This is Nebuchadnezzar. You know why? They want what they can get from God, but they don't want God. John chapter 6. Feed us, feed us, feed us. They loved that meal. Here comes a boy, 5 loaves, 2 fish. You heard me tell you, it was catfish. It was cornbread. Amen. Sweet cornbread for all you southern folks. I know that doesn't make you too happy sometimes. Extra sweet, buttery cornbread. Amen. Catfish that Jesus multiplies. Filleted. Amen. fried nice and crispy, but nice and juicy, seasoned well. Amen. And the disciples walking around, Jesus is breaking the fish. He's handing it out. And what are the disciples doing? Passing out condiments, tartar sauce, hot sauce. Amen. For all you ghetto folk, ketchup. Amen. And they're just eating. And there's 12 baskets left over. One boy's lunch. Hey, little as much when God is in it. Amen. Hey, listen to me. God's so good, he can take what you start with and make the leftovers more than what you started with. Amen. Only God can do that. Some of you are thinking at the end of 2021, this has been a horrible year. Listen, wait a minute. Don't you let the devil cloud this year with dismay and all of this disarray in your life. Listen to me. God's been good to you. You may think that this year is bad, but if you really look at your inventory, you're starting off at the end of 2021 with more than you started off at the beginning. You're going to start off with more in 22 than more than you had in 2021. God took your mess and gave you a message. Amen. And so God has been moving. And as soon as he fed them, they were happy until he started preaching the message. Many departed that day. They wanted the fish, but they didn't want the one who multiplied the fish. Don't live life wanting what God gives you and not wanting the God that gave it to you. Chapter number 3, 90-foot high image, 9-foot wide image. Coming out of the fire, these fellas had already developed established character. You cannot start developing character when the trial comes. You got to have it already. You say, Pastor, things are going really well right now. Listen, you better have character. You better walk with God. You better not try to learn to walk with God in the valley. You better walk with God on the mountaintop so you keep walking with him in the valley. It's going to demand total participation. Everybody is to bow down. Look at verse 3. Princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of the province, all gathered together. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's wearing it. Everybody's okay with it. Nobody has a problem with it. Listen to me. You know what the old folk used to tell you? If everybody jump off a cliff, you're going to jump off a cliff? You say, why you say that? Because it makes sense. We don't do what everybody does. We do what God says. And so it's going to take extreme courage. Why? Because total participation is going to demand a true position. Listen, here is the position that they want you to take. Whoso falleth not down. Say that with me, verse number 6. Whoso falleth not down. One more time. Whoso falleth not down. Listen, here's what the devil wants. Fall down. Fall down and worship. Listen, if you don't think the devil's all about worship, see what he tried with Jesus. Luke 4, Matthew 4. I'll give you all these things if you'll bow down and worship me. You know what Jesus must be thinking? These things ain't yours. John 8:44, the devil is a liar. And he's not just a liar, he's a father of lies. How many of you are like me? There's one thing I just can't stand, and that's lying. How many of you found out that lying is very common? Now, you got good liars and bad liars. I don't like either one of them. And I'm not disliking the person, but I don't like the act. But some people will lie with a straight face. They'll lie with colorful details. They'll lie with an empathetic look. They'll lie with emotion. They'll lie with tears on their face. They'll lie and prove the lie detector wrong. But how many know you can't fool God? Ananias and Sapphira are coming up there. Oh, we look good. Writing something on the offering envelope. Look at what we gave to the Lord. And by the way, sometimes people are applauding and God is going, uh-uh. It looks good to them, but it doesn't look good to me because I see your heart. That's what God is saying. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And listen, the devil is a liar. He's a father of lies. He started lying. There was never lying before the devil started lying. Genesis chapter 3. Ye shall be as gods. That's a lie. Listen to me, folks. The devil wants you to believe that if you do it his way, you're going to get something out of it. And he also wants you to believe that if you do it God's way, you're going to go down. So what the devil is trying to get them to do is through total participation, choose their true position. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast. There's always the push to compromise. Now, here's the question this morning. Has the devil talked you into changing your position? I'm talking about biblical positions. I'm talking about where the Bible is clear, where the Bible is right, where the Bible is absolute. But wait a minute. Everybody's bowing down. But God said, don't bow down. But wait a minute. Everybody's worshiping. But God said, you shall only worship the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My question to you this morning, do you have an idol? Do you have an idol? What have you been bowing down to as of late? Extreme courage. Notice, secondly, today what I call expressed confidence. Expressed confidence. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, expressed confidence in the midst of intimidating confrontation. Look at what verse number 7. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harpbut, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. This is intimidation. Listen to me. Listen to me very well. The devil is a bully. I said the devil is a bully, and he'll make you think you got to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to give in. You've got to compromise. You've got to change your position. You've got to move. You've got to lower the goalpost. If you don't, you're not going to make it. You've got to click on it. You've got to watch it. You've got to go there. You've got, listen to me. I can't tell you how many Christian people are changing biblical positions because they think they have no choice. Well, I didn't used to drink, but don't get quiet on me. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You say, oh, Pastor, that's such a nice Maya Angelou quote. No, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. You better not live your life off a good quote. You better live your life off the Word of God. Because when people can't remember them quotes, aren't you glad the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the Word of God shall endure forever. Don't change your position on social drinking. It's not good. Look not upon the wine. Look not upon the drink when it moveth itself aright. Proverbs teaches us. Chapter number 6. Stay away from it. Well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Habakkuk said, woe to the man which giveth to his neighbor strong drink. So if Habakkuk is true, then Jesus didn't give anybody strong drink. The fruit of the vine. Don't change your position on purity. Amen. God still reserves romance and intercourse to the confines of marriage. But we love each other, then get married. But we want to live together, then get married. Preach, Pastor. Don't go to the store and make sure you don't get pregnant. Go to the Bible and stay pure. Preach, Pastor. But we have to do it. But what about these temptations? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's bowing. And everybody went down. And let me tell you something. I remember when, you used to get around people that weren't saved and you be in public and nobody blessed the food. But you knew you were supposed to bless the food. So you did that old trick called drop the napkin. Drop the napkin, bend down, pick, bless the food, nurse, and come back up. You say, Pastor, you ever dropped a nap? No. I've counseled people that have. Hey, listen, if you're not careful, the devil will have you ashamed of bowing down to the real God while other people bow down to a fake God unashamed. Why is it that Christian people have to be, listen, why is it that you have to be ashamed to say Merry Christmas, but people don't have to be ashamed to flaunt their foolishness? Come on now. Why do you have to be ashamed? Listen to me, sir. It's a shame that if you are ashamed to hold your wife's hand in public and yet people can walk down the mall holding each other's hands that shouldn't even be liking each other. Preach, Pastor. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, everybody's back. Well, it was just only three of us. Intimidating confrontation, and now indicated consequences. Verse 6, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You keep talking about going to church, we're going to fire you. Huh? You have to miss ball practice to be at church. We're not going to start you. You keep talking like a Christian, we're going to ostracize you and punish you. Listen to me. The devil is a bully. He uses intimidating confrontation and indicated consequences. Look at verse number 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. See that verse? Now look at verse number 12. There are certain Jews. Next phrase. Whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Now watch this now. People like to use your Christianity to help them and accuse your Christianity when it hurts them. Now, in the last chapter, we need the Jew to get the dream interpreted. In the next chapter, we don't like the Jews because they're making what we do look wrong. Listen to me. Light dispels darkness. When you live right around people, they don't want you around unless they're living right like you are. Oh boy, here you come. Don't invite him. You can't say nothing. Make sure you invite them to the wedding, but don't invite them to the reception because ain't nobody going to feel right. Boy, I can't tell you how many people I saw drop some fresh cigarettes. I mean, it had to be a nice cup of whatever they just poured. I just look at them thinking, oh my goodness. All because the preacher man walked up. Listen to me. You better quit trying to impress the preacher man and understand that the Proverbs 15 said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Don't jump when mama comes in the room. Daddy don't ever leave it. I'm talking about your heavenly father. Huh? Just because you delete it doesn't mean God doesn't keep record of it. And here they are with indicated consequences. Here's what I want you to write down. Identified Christians. Look at the middle of verse number 12. There are certain Jews. And then I want you to look at that middle of verse number 12. These men. Everybody say, these men. These men. Let's get a little demonstrative. Take your finger and point it at somebody. These people. This is what living for God is going to do. It's going to put a bullseye on you. Now, wait a minute now. I'm about to tell somebody's testimony, and you're going to say, how'd you know it, Pastor? Before you got saved, nobody had a problem with you. You went to the parties, they enjoyed you. You cussed with them, they had a good time. You had your red cup, they had theirs too. Come on. You acted a fool, they acted a fool with you. But one day you showed up at the family reunion and said, I met somebody. Somebody help me preach. I met somebody. They say, oh, what's his name? Is he handsome? No. He's heavenly. Are you going to marry him? No. He's my savior. And he's changed my life. Oh, really? I'm glad you're going back to church. You know, some of the people that prayed for you to get right with God were glad when you got right with God until they found out how right you got. We wanted you to get in church, but we didn't want church to get in you. You post on Facebook. Some of y'all got Facebook. Post on there. I'm going back to church. Listen to me. The devils will be congratulating. Oh, bless your heart. I'm so glad you're back in church. Well, you come back on that same Facebook page and start calling some of them devils out, and they're going to say, you done got too much church in you now. These Christians whom thou hast set up. King, you put them in charge. because they're 10 times better. You put them in charge because the boy Daniel is interpreting dreams. You put them up over us. But guess what? Those Christians you promoted, they're not going along with your orders, King. And didn't you say that if they don't, they're going to get punished? Don't you just love people that love to remind the authorities of the punishment? Some of you grew up with a sibling that was a tattletale. Some of you have a brother or sister that's a Mommy, didn't you say that if they didn't clean their room, they couldn't have any ice cream? Hey, listen. How many times in 2021 did you bow to avoid being identified? You know, if I object to this, they're going to call me out. If I reveal my Christianity, I'm going to lose some friends. Look at here. I'm about to finish. If you lose friends over being a good Christian, take it as a healthy indication they want your friends in the first place. Because a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Aren't you glad that the Bible shows us people who, even at the threat of consequences, stood up for God? I don't believe that Christianity is going to get any more convenient in this year to come. You college and career students, do you really think you're going to go to school in 2022 and be a good Christian and not get called out? Somebody's going to say, this girl that y'all put in my room is cramping my style because she's a Christian. By the way, the same person that just a week ago asked you to put them on your prayer list. Isn't it amazing? Pray for me because they can't find God. And then when you live God, they say, get away from me. Don't you let people's threats run you off from bowing down to your God and scare you into bowing down to theirs. Because here's why. When you get in the fire, that big old statue that everybody's bowing down to can't help you. But that God that you refuse to compromise your stand on will show up where nobody else will. There is a clash between culture and Christianity. But that clash will demand extreme courage and expressed confidence. And I said expressed it because you can't come out of the fire having one of them undercover, keep it to myself, me and God know Christianities. In 2022, you're going to have to come out the closet and let people know I'm a Christian. And it will bring consequences. But the devil's threats will never outdo God's triumph. Our Father, we love you and we bless your name. I pray that you've been magnified in our lives.
Over the last two evenings on Conference Pulpit, Kenny Baldwin addressed the clash between culture and Christianity. Say, teenager, are you afraid of being identified? Are you standing up for God just when it's convenient? Perhaps you're not a Christian at all, or you have doubts or questions about this matter of knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let us address these questions at bbnchat.org. There you'll find the opportunity to enter into a private conversation with a biblical advisor, one-on-one. bbnchat.org. bbnchat.org. Thank you for joining with us for Teen Week on Conference Pulpit.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.